Welcome to the ISPNIC Hot Topics Podcast, brought to you by ISPNIC. Each episode will host a short interview with key opinion leaders in PICU or NICU and other fields of medicine. Keep listening to find out more about this episode's host, guest, and featured hot topic.
I'm Janet Mattsson, and I'm a professor of intensive care nursing at USM, and I will be the host during today's podcast. I will speak with Elinor Rydham-Ledin, that is an expert in the field of long-term intensive care for children with tracheostomy and their parents. I'm also at the Karolinska University Hospital, perioperative medicine and intensive care, where you have also been working in the NICU, and then you are doing your research in the PICU. Could you tell us a little bit about this, Elinor?
Of course. So, project revolves around children with tracheostomies. And as you said, they spend a lot of time in the long-term intensive care unit. And prior to that, they've also spent time in the NICU as well as the PICU. And it's a pretty small group, one could argue, but they do need a lot of care and they spend a lot of time in hospital. And I would argue that one of the unique features with this project would be that we're focusing on children with tracheostomies regardless of their ventilatory status. So we haven't made a difference depending on if they are dependent on ventilators or not. So if you have a tracheostomy, you're one of the children we include, as well as we haven't differentiated on their underlying condition or illness. So we've try to solemnly focus on the tracheostomy and what that might entail for their life, essentially.
How young are the children when they come to this ward?
In this data set, the children have been receiving their tracheostomy pretty early. So it's during their initial hospital stay. So they've been born, spent some time in the NICU, and then most of them some time in the PICU. Then it's decided that they will receive a tracheostomy, and after that, they will typically spend some time in the long-term intensive care unit then. And that's roughly around, I think the youngest one was about 3 weeks when they received the tracheostomy and transferred to the LICU. And the oldest one would be the prematurely born ones, and they're around 5-6 months when they've received the tracheostomy and then transferred to the LICU.
So basically, the parents, some of them at least, haven't been at home and haven't become parents before. So they have to become a family and parents in this kind of strange environment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every single time a child is born, also a parent is born or two in most cases. And that's something that they will have to essentially adopt to whilst in hospital, whilst in intensive care. And it's not always it's not an easy environment trying to do that transition, maybe especially if it's your first child. It's a pretty tough process.
Could you tell us a little bit about this process?
As I said, they do spend a lot of time in hospital. So even though they might get their tracheostomy at 6 months-ish, they will still have spent those 6 months in hospital in intensive care. Getting the tracheostomy doesn't always mean that you get to go straight home. So they could spend a lot more time in hospital after that. I think the longest hospital stay we have in this data set is around 1.5 years, almost 2 years, if I remember correctly. So it's a lot of time. And then when they go home, it will, depending on which country you're talking about, but some form of nursing care or home care in Sweden is called personal assistance. So you will be living with assistance 24/7 since these children need surveillance in order to keep it safe with regard of the tracheostomy. So it will be pretty big changes. The parents will, whilst in hospital, learn to manage the tracheostomy, how to suction it, keeping it clean. If the child is also dependent upon a ventilator, they will also need to learn that kind of technology. There are often other forms of technology with regards of feeding. A lot of them have other forms of like a feeding tube, essentially. There's a lot of material that needs to be ordered home, etc. And of course, this is something that will have to be learned whilst in this environment that's still in hospital. And you have to take a pretty big portion of it with you home as well.
So how is this for the family? Where are we at? And what could we do for a better living for the family and for the children? What is required of us? What would you like to pinpoint?
I would like to pinpoint that first and foremost, these are children. And first and foremost, their parents should be their parents. I would argue that we tend to, the parents are parents and then some, but in a way it's almost like it's a bit too much focusing on the then some and not so much on the parenting. And that I think we could be better at supporting them and being parents first and foremost. We do not have a lot of long-term or the long perspective on these children. It's a pretty new group. They're not that old, I would argue, but it would be reasonable to look into things such as how school functions for them and the more social factors when it comes to the parents. Are they able to hold a job or does their child situation affect that as well? And of course, then the economical and financial situation of the family, if that is something that gets hindered or affected or if it complicates that as well.
So if I get you right here, this is a group of children that they are not so many, but they are something that needs to be attended to in a little bit different way than we are used to in the PICU and ICU. They need more collaboration with other caregivers to make this work.
Absolutely.
What is the key aspect we need to develop over the next few years for these children?
I would definitely say the collaboration. Right now, they're kind of bouncing between units. We don't have a clear group define how many they are, what they're dependent upon, and how to go about it. So it's really tricky trying to find that long-term perspective and how it turns out for them. So we would really need follow-up care and being able to track their progress. How are they developing? How will life become a few years on? But then also developing this strong collaboration between the NICU, the PICU, and the long-term intensive care so that we can actually share information and collaborate on the care of that child to make it as good as possible. But then also realizing that this is a kind of a new group. We've defined them with children dependent upon tracheostomies. There will, of course, be children in similar situation who are not dependent upon tracheostomies, but these are identifiable. So we can find them. But I think we haven't really seen the children living with complex and often chronic conditions. Just a few years ago, these were conditions that you wouldn't really survive. And now you're instead living with it. And then, of course, then we need to make sure that they're able to be children and live with their condition.
Yeah, so this is kind of putting pressure on the healthcare system and the PICU to find a new way to hand over them for a full life, I guess. Yeah. So we need to rebuild around them, because I also understand when they come in, when they've been home, something happens, they come back to the hospital, they meet healthcare personnel that don't really know how to take care of them. And the parents, they are afraid their children will die.
Yeah. And there's some horrible stories of that. Since there aren't that many, I understand that it can be hard, but it's also putting a lot of responsibility for a very complex and kind of high level of care on these parents. So when their child catches a cold, or now during COVID, not at least, and they need to go to the ER, they're terrified. I can't really put it much more than that. And since they require such a high and complex level of care already at home, since they are essentially, the tracheostomy is substituting their upper airways, when they catch a cold, it can get really bad, really fast. And it's almost like you would want to have them on a fast track into a more specialized unit. Yeah. Because of course, spending time in the ER for a child such as a child with a tracheostomy is a risk in itself. And then when someone comes and places a nasal cannula with supplemental oxygen in the child's nose, of course, as a parent, when you're already in just that stressful situation, that can be just kind of the tipping point for you. So they would need a specialized kind of caretaking in situations of exacerbation or when they catch an infection. And then again, I think with the strength and collaboration, with this is a child that we need to attend to fast. This is a child and parents that might need a different form of nursing care and medical care. They're already extremely experienced. These are parents of a lot of knowledge about their child, and they will be the ones who know their child the best, definitely.
So they need to be let in another way than we are doing today.
Yeah.
Great. So I think we are in a new situation, a new challenge for us to really follow up and see what we are doing here today at our NICU or PICU and how we can give the children and families a new start outside us. But we need to be there to make that happen because there's no knowledge, as I understand it, right?
No, it's very limited. And I would argue that there is people doing wonderful research kind of in the area, but a lot of the time it's snippets of the journey that they do. We have some research on decision to place the tracheostomy. We have a bit more on the surgery itself. That is a pretty biomedical perspective on it. So it's a lot focused on the surgery itself, how you should do it, complications, etc. But pretty in time, pretty narrow. Then there's a bit of a pause in research. Mm-hmm. And then there's, of course, some papers on the transition from hospital to home. And then there's a bit more on the care that the parents are giving at home, maybe then with home nursing or personal assistance. And there's kind of often there's some, maybe not confusion, but there's a bit of a mix then with children who have tracheostomies and children who are on a ventilator. But those are not synonyms. So there will be children with tracheostomies who's not on the ventilator and vice versa. So we don't really have research that covers this as a whole. We don't really have that much research that covers larger parts of it from the perspective of the parents or the children. And we don't have that long-term perspective. What happens with these children when they leave hospital in other aspects than the medical care? Of course, ICU care is always about sustaining life and kind of hindering death, but we can't really settle with survival for children. That's not good enough, in my opinion.
Yeah, thank you. I think that will make a nice closure that we can't really settle for survival. It needs to be something more to add on. Thank you so much, Elinor. PhD researcher at Karolinska University Hospital and KTH. Thank you.
Thank you.